You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Just Showing Up on Breadbox Media. I am your host, Brianna Helt. Well, thank you all for tuning in to another week of our show. By our, I mean my show, I guess. thanks so much for listening along. So I usually like to do a little recap of my past week here. I'm a writer, I'm a wife, I'm a mom. I kind of consider myself like a work from home mom now, that I do a bit of freelancing and blogging. You can find my blog at www.briannahelt.com. It's my personal blog. I also have a Facebook page. You can find it. It's just, I don't know, Brianna Helt, I guess. You can like my Facebook page and follow along with all of my writing there. I have 8 kids. 4 of my children are adopted and 4 were born to me. And I actually, am due with child number 9 in about 3 weeks. So we're kind of getting down to the wire here with the baby, which is totally exciting and terrifying all at once. This pregnancy has gone, there were portions of the pregnancy that felt like they were going very slowly. You know, we did some remodeling on our house. Well, we didn't really do it. Our contractor did it. Paid professionals did the work. But our home was being remodeled, certain areas of it, for, I don't know, I guess that process was 2 months, 2.5 months. And that portion of the pregnancy felt like it really, really dragged. I had some veins that were bothering me. And when people are in and out and working on your house, you know, that part felt like it went slowly. But now all of a sudden, I feel like, oh my goodness, baby's going to be here in 3 weeks. And I am woefully, woefully unprepared. It's really true. I am not at all prepared for a baby to come. And I'm hoping this whole like nesting thing kicks in soon. It has not happened yet. But anyway, so we have a baby on the way. Very, very exciting. Back to my blog. It would be so lovely if you, if you followed along, signed up, with Feedly or whatever, blog reader you use, like my Facebook page. Shameless self-promotion never hurt anybody. Well, I don't know. Maybe it has. It probably has. Anyway, so, okay, I guess, let's see, this week. Well, hey, so my kids finished up school this week for the summer. It is now officially summer break at the Helt House. And I got to tell you, I have some mixed feelings about this. It's very nice to get that break. You know, I think like the whole idea of seasons, like we have seasons, 4 seasons in a year. We have seasons in our lives. If we are Catholic, I'm Catholic. I don't know if you are. Either way, I'm so glad you're here listening along to my ramblings. But if you're Catholic, you know we have the liturgical seasons, right? So basically that means that, you know, the church year, it's, you know, we have the seasons that most people are familiar with, like Christmas, Easter, Lent, Advent. There's also ordinary time. But you know, this whole idea of moving through the seasons, of changing things up every so often, I think that's very, very healthy. And same with the school year. So, you know, it's like I was so ready to be done with the school year, because even though I'm not in school and it's just my kids, you know, I'm still on top of them for you know, getting their homework done or dealing with, you know, like issues that might come up at school, whether it's behavioral stuff or, you know, I'm working with the school with one of my kids setting up a plan for them because they don't qualify for an IEP, but they need some help at school. So it's just, I was so ready to be done, you know? And so now we're done and that feels really good. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, swimming and hanging out by the pool. We have a pool actually in our backyard, an in-ground swimming pool, which I love very much. It's so great. But, and my kids do lessons and swim on a swim team at our neighborhood outdoor pool. So I'm really excited for all of those things. But I'm just gonna be honest here and say that it is an adjustment having these kiddos home. Like they are here and they are many. There are 8 of them. 7 of them are school age. So, you know, normally, I mean, this past year in the mornings, it was just my daughter, my 3-year-old Alice and I here at the house. And then in the afternoons, my kindergartner would be home. So things were, it's just different. It's different. But my kids are great. They, you know, yesterday, okay, not yesterday, because I record this ahead of time. So on Thursday was the kids' first full day home for the summer. And, you know, they jumped on the trampoline and they ran around outside and they shot baskets and, they colored and played card game. I mean, they're having a great time. It's awesome. And they're good kids. But it is an adjustment for me, to be sure. And an adjustment for them, too, I think. You know, the routine is changing. So if you, you know, for the next few months, if you hear shrieking and yelling and like weeping and gnashing of teeth in the background during my show, that's all my kids. And I don't know how you approach summer. Like, you know, I know it's sort of the in vogue right now for people to like post this checklist, like all the stuff we're going to do this summer. And I think maybe it's a personality trait, or admittedly, it could be a personality flaw. But when I see those lists, I become very anxious. Like, oh my gosh, we've got to check all the boxes. We still haven't gotten to the zoo. We haven't made it to the museum. We haven't done, you know, that stresses me out. So I am not a mom that posts a big list. And I also think that for my kids, and everybody's family dynamic is so, so different, and every child is so, so different. But I really do like a lot of unstructured time for them in the summer. They get so little of that, it seems, you know, during the normal school week. And so I think when it's summertime and when they don't have school, you know, I love that they can just wake up and go get out on the trampoline or go run around in our field or, you know, those kinds of things. So I do like a lot of unstructured time, but then we also have structure to our summer. I mentioned my kids swim on a swim team and the ones that don't take lessons. And so that doesn't begin until about, I guess it's mid-June. And so that's nice because 4 mornings a week, that does get us up, get us going. When it's done, we have the whole rest of the day. So anyway, I like that mix, I guess, of unstructured time with structure. We're not planning on taking any trips this summer. We'd hoped to get out to California for a road trip. That's where we're from originally. Now we're in Denver, which I love. Colorado is definitely home. And it has been now for 8 years. But I do miss the beach, I gotta be honest. And we have dear friends out there that we miss. So we had thought we'd take a road trip to California this summer and go to the beach and go to Disneyland. But alas, we are having a baby instead, which is a far better way to spend the summer. So we don't really have any summer plans to go anywhere, just hanging out, swimming, having a baby, the huge. Kind of fun. Kind of fun. So, yeah, that was kind of my week, like wrapping up at school, Soccer season is, I guess, pretty well wrapped up. And so now we're moving on. We are moving into summer. Good show up ahead for us, today. There are a couple things that I want to, wanting to talk about today. One of those things is music and the influence that it has on the culture. I just saw, maybe I should be embarrassed for admitting this because the movie had so much, there was a lot of bad language and a few scenes in the movie that we fast forwarded through because of people that were not wearing all that they should have been wearing. But I just saw the movie. I finally just saw the movie Straight Outta Compton. And, I don't know. I had some thoughts, I guess. I had some thoughts rolling around in my head that I want to talk about in terms of music and influence and how it influences the culture. And I also wanted to talk about, I talked a little bit about this last week, but just this kind of discontent among women, in terms of their role, I guess, or our call to marriage or what have you, particularly as it relates to, multi-level marketing companies. I know it sounds weird. Stay with me. An article I read recently kind of was drawing this connection between the rise of popularity of these marketing companies and women. Anyway, kind of, you know, just some interesting things on the show up ahead. And of course, the usual ramblings and chit chat. Anyway, it is so good to have you listening along. I'm your host, Brianna Helt. I'm just showing up. We will be right back.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back. I am your host, Brianna Helt, on Just Showing Up with Breadbox Media. So before the break, I was talking a little bit about summertime and kind of how we approach summer and, how it's kind of this adjustment for everybody, I think, with the kids being home. You know, I used to homeschool and, we homeschooled for, I guess it was 5 years and, what was interesting about that, of course, was that anytime there was a long break, whether it was Christmas break or summer break, it wasn't really that much of a change from what we were doing. I mean, it was because, you know, you got to, stop doing schoolwork and focus on other things. But it was definitely less of a change than it is now, when we take a break for, take a break for summer. So, and as I was saying before, I like the seasons. I like the changing of things from time to time. This idea that, you know, by the end of May, I'm very, very excited for a break from school, but I know that by August, I'm going to be so ready, to get back into that routine of school and all of that. And I think that's natural. I think that's normal. And healthy, healthy as well. So you guys, I really want to talk about this movie. So I just watched the movie, much to my husband's dismay because he did not like the movie. The movie Straight Outta Compton, which is a story about the kind of like the fathers of modern rap, basically. Who comprised the band NWA back in late 80s and into the 90s, and just kind of their backstory and kind of what happened. It's interesting. I love documentaries and I love movies based on true events. So this kind of a thing was right up my alley. I will give the disclaimers. I'm not encouraging everybody to go out and watch it. It has a very, very, strong language all throughout the movie. As well as a few scenes that we fast forwarded through because they were, people were not fully clothed in the scenes, but I still felt it was, I mean, it was interesting. It was an interesting movie and really sad. Like I felt it was sad. And I will also give the disclaimer that, you know, it was produced by, Ice Cube and Dr. Dre and, you know, Eric Eazy-E, I think they got married before he died. Anyway, his widow. So all of that to say that, when this movie came out, there was a lot of, there's like a lawsuit pending, this anti-defamation lawsuit pending from their old manager saying that he was misrepresented in the film. And, there were some women that black women who spoke out and said that, you know, the film really glossed over, these guys, sort of the aspect of their story that was, you know, included like domestic violence and misogyny. I thought they came across as pretty misogynistic, based on the scenes that we fast forwarded, but I don't know. Anyway, so the movie received some criticism. So all of that to say, the disclaimer is that although it was based on real events, it was produced and made by some of these guys themselves. And, obviously they left these certain things out of the film. But it, you know, it did give an interesting picture of LA at the time, or certain parts of LA, I guess, and of kind of what things were like in Compton at that time, for black people, particularly people struggling, socioeconomically. You know, it's sad. And also I realize this movie is like old, way old news by now. I am a, what do they call that? A late adopter. I never see movies in the theater when they come out. And so we get them from the library when they're out on DVD. So I would never make it as any sort of movie reviewer because by the time I'm reviewing a movie, everybody's already seen it. But all of that to say, you know, it got me thinking like this was, you know, these guys were rapping about, I mean, Eazy-E said, you know, this is our reality. We're rapping about our reality. And of course that included a lot of really, what I mean, nobody could deny are very violent lyrics, particularly targeting law enforcement. And, you know, the reality was that there were, parts of Los Angeles at that time, which were where black people were being oppressed or what have you. And so I think, you know, yeah, there's something there. I mean, some of this was their reality. But the interesting thing was, it was kind of like these guys, they were like in the right place at the right time because they found such an audience for this music that they were putting out there. They found, and not just among fellow African Americans, but also, you know, everybody else, anybody else, you know, young white people, people of other races as well. People really took to this music and this message, which when you listen to the lyrics, very explicit, a lot of bad words, and then just anger and hate, I guess you could say. And what's interesting about it is, you know, it's like in the movie, when these guys are on stage doing their thing and everybody's in the audience is going crazy when they're, you know, playing these huge venues. You know, you can see how, yeah, I mean, people were just eating this stuff up. And, you know, for many people, I think they would hear the music and, go on about their day. But I think it would be hard to say, you'd be hard pressed to deny that this music, this kind of movement did not wield quite an influence, really, on youth culture, particularly Black youth culture. But I think, I don't know. I think that's where it gets kind of murky. Like, well, this is our reality, but then, okay, what do we do? What do we do with that reality? And what's interesting is, so like Tupac, he has, obviously not Tupac himself. He's been dead for a number of years, but the character Tupac is in the film as well. And I was reading after I saw the movie. I'm such a history nerd. Like the history of Compton. I was reading that actually both of Tupac's parents and other family members of his were, you know, longtime Black Panthers. And so some of these guys, with the message that they brought, it was this message of revolution and uprising. And, you know, you see it in the movie, in the course of the movie, you know, the whole thing with Rodney King happened, and it's showing footage of, you know, just these riots and Los Angeles burning. And I'm from California. I grew up, I don't know, maybe like 4 hours north of LA. And I remember in the news when, you know, this was happening, and I don't know, it's just all of this to say, you look at this stuff and you see, you know, musicians and music holds tremendous influence over the culture, particularly over the young, you know, youth in the culture. And when we look at where our culture is right now, and I'm talking about the culture at large, I'm not talking about rappers, I'm not talking about African-American culture or subcultures, I'm just saying like our culture at large, you know, you think about, well, how has music influenced our culture at large? And I mean, as a kid, so I mentioned I'm a history nerd, I'm also a country music nerd. I grew up out in the sticks in California, you know, beautiful rural California, and I loved country music. I still love that older country music, the stuff they make today I'm not as into, but anyway. But you know, when I think about some of the more like mainstream artists, not necessarily the pop singers that kind of come and go, but you know, people like Madonna or Kurt Cobain or bands like Metallica. I don't know. I mean, you think about what kind of an influence is this stuff wielding on young people? And I think it wields a significant influence, although I don't know that many people realize this or necessarily acknowledge this to be the case. But when you watch a film like Straight Outta Compton and you see you see some of this playing out, and man, I mean, this stuff it goes a lot deeper than maybe what we think. More coming up in a minute. We'll be right back. I'm Brianna Helt, and you're listening to Just Showing Up.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Brianna Helt, on Just Showing Up with Breadbox Media. We are talking today about music and its influence on culture. I inspired by my just having watched the film Straight Outta Compton. I will give my disclaimers yet again. The movie has a lot of very strong language and some inappropriate scenes, which we fast forwarded through. I think I think, yeah, it's interesting to think about, you know, what are we influenced by? How are we influenced by? What are our kids influenced by? You know, back when we used to homeschool, I mentioned earlier on the show that we used to homeschool, and homeschooling is funny because, you know, your kids just naturally are, sheltered. They're sheltered from certain popular culture types of things unless, you introduce them to those things, or unless, you know, if you're part of a homeschooling co-op or something, and or they're hanging out with other kids or whatever. But now, you know, I have 7 kids that are, they attend school. They don't attend Catholic schools. 5 of them go to a classical charter school, and 2 of them go to a public neighborhood school. So anyway, I'm not, you know, my kids are not in a place where they are sheltered from 100% of all things. And, it's just interesting. It's like, you know, does art, does music, does pop culture, you know, does it reflect who we are? Does it reflect our reality? I mean, that was, you know, with NWA, of course, the band that Straight Outta Compton was, or the group that Straight Outta Compton was made about. That was their whole thing was, you know, we're rapping about our reality. This is our reality, you know, growing up in Compton and, you know, being oppressed as Black men. Okay. So they're saying, well, we're rapping our reality, but then is there also something where it kind of comes full circle, and what they're saying, what they're singing, what they're rapping becomes the reality or becomes the narrative, for listeners and viewers. And, you know, that's kind of the, I don't know. I think that's kind of the big question. And I think it can go both ways. And so, I mean, and this isn't just about music. You could make the case about television as well. Like, you see some of the stuff that's on primetime TV. I actually am so far out of the loop. I don't even really know what's on, what's on primetime TV, but I think you, I think that it drives, I think what people watch, what people hear, what people are told is the reality, I think they start to embrace as their reality. And that can be a scary, that can be a scary thing, because it means that we are influenced, you know, we're vulnerable to that influence. And, you know, just as an example, one of my kids this past year, there was a substitute teacher who was subsequently fired. But the substitute teacher, put on a, I don't know, I guess they were trying to kill time. This lady was trying to kill time. I, to this day, I really don't know what this lady was thinking, but she put on like some music video for some song. And, it also happened to be a rapper anyway. And the video was like totally inappropriate and really very disturbing. And I watched it at home because I wanted to see what my kid had seen. And I was just so like appalled and sickened by this portrayal of women. And, you know, this was it was a Black rapper, and also the portrayal of African Americans in some of these areas of popular culture where, you know, it's all about the women and the money. And I don't know. It was very, the whole thing was very disturbing to me. And I just, I don't know. I mean, kids, and you know, the crazy thing was that there were several kids that had already seen this video before, in the class. I mean, kids are seeing these things and thinking that, you know, hey, this is what life is all about. And I'm not trying to be like, you know, oh, these kids and their rock and roll or whatever, but it is worth thinking about, like, you know, what are these people saying is cool, or, you know, what matters in life. And it's not just, I mean, I'm talking a little bit about rap here because I just saw the movie, and then this particular video happened to be a rapper, but it's not just rap at all. It is other genres as well. Like, I remember what, okay, so I love Fleetwood Mac. They're way before my time, but I really like them a lot. And one of the guys from the band wrote a book within the last few years, and there was an interview. He did an interview, and he was talking about some of those years when the band was kind of at their height of popularity, and how they would just be like, you know, doing drugs all the time and having these wild, you know, parties with drugs and lots of sex and, you know, the lifestyle that these people live. And I don't know. I mean, you know, an adult like me or you, if you're listening, I really don't see what appeal this show would have for children. I think, I don't know. I think that we can look at these people and these musicians or these artists, and we can say, okay, you know, they are making a lot of money, but they're on a bad path that isn't necessarily going to end well. I mean, the movie Straight Outta Compton, of course, it towards the end of the film, spoiler alert, you know, Eazy-E, he dies of AIDS, and you know, it's heartbreaking. And I think, and of course, we know that Tupac was murdered. I think it's just, you know, we can look at that and say, for as much money and fame as these people had, it's very, like, sad, because they were not, they were living a lifestyle that did not end well for them. And what does that have to do with us? Well, it makes you think, like, man, I want to live in light of my own dignity, you know, like, I want to live a good life. No matter who you are, what religious identity you claim for yourself, where you are in your spiritual journey or life's journey, I think, you know, hopefully we can agree that certain lifestyles are better than others, or produce better results perhaps than others. And that's not to say that if you live a good life or what have you, that everything will be easy or go super well for you. That is not the case. But what I am saying is that it can, at least, you know, we can do what we can to live up to our human dignity, respecting our bodies, respecting other people's bodies, not living in this space of, like, anger and rage, and finding productive ways to channel our energy when things don't go great for us. I think that's, I mean, one thing in the film, Straight Outta Compton, one thing, you know, that could be said was that some of these people, well, they were very angry and driven by ego. And I think, really, I mean, the ego thing, that is, I'm sure, the norm for many of the rich and famous. And it's sad, because I think it contributes to, like, a breakdown of relationships, and, you know, you're not able to have these healthy relationships. And I mentioned earlier that there was a number of women, including feminists, who black feminists, who spoke out against this film and said, you know what, like, these guys were total misogynists. They beat women, abused them, and that was not portrayed in the film. And the film kind of whitewashed that whole aspect of who these guys were. And so all of that to say, obviously, like, yeah, you were rich, you were famous, you really made contributions, I guess, to to the rap industry, but at what cost, you know? I don't know. Kind of sad to think about. And as far as, you know, we go, like my kids, you know, we listen to music. We don't listen to explicit lyrics. Although I have to tell you, so we watched this movie on Wednesday night. Yeah, Wednesday night. I woke up Thursday morning. I was having like all these contractions. I'm like a little over 8 months pregnant. I'm doing a few weeks. And I was like, oh man, maybe all that rapping got my contractions going. So I made this joke on Facebook about how, you know, in a few weeks, if you hear me blaring this old school rap music, I'm trying to jumpstart labor. It's kind of funny. But anyway, we don't, in our home, we just don't, we don't listen to lyrics that are explicit. We just don't. And we don't listen exclusively to Christian music either. I think some of that stuff is dreadful. I'm sorry. I said it. Ugh, contemporary Christian music. What is the deal? Anyway, so yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I'll be right back. I'm Brianna Helt on Just Showing Up.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
This is Just Showing Up on Breadbox Media. I am your host, Brianna Helt. Thank you all again for showing up and listening, listening this weekend. Kind of wrapping up a conversation before the break about music and its influence on people, especially young people. And this whole idea, you know, does art reflect reality or does art, you know, dictate reality? And I don't know. I think it's probably both. Yeah, probably both. Anyway, moving on. Like, oh, and I'll say too, I'll add this before I move on. It's that just that, it's a hard thing as a parent to kind of navigate entertainment choices and music choices with kids and figure out that balance. But we take a pretty hard line. We don't do a lot of screen time here. We don't listen to music with explicit lyrics. I don't care how popular the artist is. My kids are not listening to Beyonce at this point. That's just an example. I don't know why she came to mind. I guess because she's been in the news recently with her Lemonade album, visual album. I don't even know. I am, you know, I am so uncool. I don't even know what a visual album is. I'm like, what is that? I don't know. Don't even know. And I'm kind of at that place in my life where I'm like, eh, old dog, new tricks. I'm, you know, not even gonna try. Anyway, so moving on, I've talked a little bit recently about women's issues. This, by the way, has nothing to do with the prior conversation about Straight Outta Compton or music in general. But just about, okay, I read this article. I'll tell you the background. I read this article recently. No, I don't. At the moment, I can't recall the website or the author of the article. I'll get that up in the show notes. I'll put that up there. But it was talking about what does it stand for? Okay, MLM or multi-level marketing companies. You know, like Young Living, doTERRA. What else, right? Like Avon, Shackley, Wildtree. I'm actually an independent consultant for Wildtree. So I too have participated in a multi-level marketing, company, Mary Kay, you know, all those different ones, Scentsy, where people will have parties or workshops or what have you, and they invite friends. And this article was interesting because, well, first of all, you see a lot of criticism out there anyway about these companies and you know, people get really annoyed on social media when they feel like their friends are like bugging them to buy stuff and bugging them to come to things. And it makes sense, right? Because that gets annoying. I do not like high pressure sales. This is part of why I will never, ever be a successful multi-level anybody. Like, I just don't like it. But, or pressure sales at all. I'm just not, that's not me. And so, so you see a lot of criticism of that. But this article caught my eye because it was kind of delving into like the whys. Like, why are so many women signing up to be, signing up to work with for these companies? And particularly because when you look at the statistics, yes, there are people making very good money doing this work. It is an infinitesimally small percentage. I mean, it is like really a very small percentage. And many women, I don't know if it's most, but you know, many women are losing money on it. Some of these companies, you have to buy a big inventory up front and you never make that back. Or, you know, in order to make it back, you have to put in all this time. It's interesting. It's an interesting conversation, I think. And so this article was kind of going into the whys of it and was exploring if perhaps, part of why so many women sign up to do these things is because they are ill at ease with the idea of just being home, of just being a mom. They are wanting to contribute. You know, I need to feel like I'm contributing to the income in some way because this over here is not enough. And I thought that insight was really fascinating. Is it true? I don't know. But sort of this psychology behind what compels people to put all this time and money into something where they're not necessarily making it back. And I'm not saying you can't make it back, but, you know, just if you really look at the numbers, most people are not. Yeah, it's just, it's fascinating to know why. And especially in light of, I probably mentioned last week, but I'm reading Betty Friedan's, you know, The Feminine Mystique. And it's an interesting read so far, for sure. And this, you know, she writes about this, the chapter, one of the early chapters is called, or the first chapter, I should say, is called The Problem That Has No Name. And it's just, it's about, you know, talks about why, how these women don't feel fulfilled. And this book was written in 1963, right? So a long time ago. But I think what she articulates there is we still see it today. It is so hard for, I just feel like women in general, we really struggle to feel fulfilled in the small things that we do or to feel like they matter or count. I think a lot of women feel that their identity is lost, lost in motherhood somehow. You know, just to read, in Friedan's book, she quotes a woman, who is a mother of four who left college at 19 to get married. And this mother, had said, "I'm desperate. I begin to feel I have no personality. I'm a server of food and a putter on of pants and a bedmaker, somebody who can be called on when you want something. But who am I?" But who am I? Like, that right there, I think, encapsulates what women, the struggle for women that marches on today. And I should say it, you know, the struggle for Western women. I think culturally in other places, maybe things are a little different. But here in the West, boy, if that doesn't articulate this struggle that I think moms have, yeah, it's interesting. And so this multi-level marketing thing, I was thinking, well, that totally makes sense to me. Like, oh, it's something to do. It's something to throw myself into. I can earn money and contribute it to our family. I mentioned earlier, so I I'm in it independent. I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what the company calls it. Independent representative, I guess, for WildTree, which is this. And no, this is not a sales pitch. WildTree, they make these like culinary blends and spices, and they're all natural and like these infused grapeseed oils. It's awesome. The products are really, really great. And then we do these freezer meal workshops as well. So anyway, I got involved with that. My sister-in-law is very successful selling WildTree. And so I got signed up to do it. And you don't, I mean, the cost up front is very minimal. I have not lost money on it. I've made money. I've profited off of it, but I'm not super active in it, particularly as kind of my freelancing has taken off a little bit. I'm doing more writing, doing more work. And that's really where my passion is anyway, is, you know, hosting my show here and writing. And so the WildTree thing has taken a back seat, although I hope to stay active because I really like their products and I like the discounts. And it's fun every once in a while to host a workshop, a freezer meal workshop at my house. And then I have 10 meals to go in my freezer and it's healthy and yummy and blah, 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 blah. But I got involved with it partly to, yeah, I wanted to earn some extra money. I was like, hey, you know, this could be, this could be good. This could help, you know, pay for soccer or whatever. I'm not in a place where I have to work, but I thought, well, I'll earn some extra money, whatever. But yeah, I think I'm sure everybody's motivation is different, but I just think that there is probably something behind this whole, who am I? You know, am I contributing enough? Am I doing enough? Is this enough? Is motherhood enough or whatever? And I don't know. And I think the answer to this question, who am I? I mean, I really do believe it lies in who God created us to be. And we look around our culture today and all these problems seem to stem from this crucial question of identity. You know, we're talking about, my goodness, everybody's talking about, you know, transgenderism right now and your sexual identity, homosexuality or, you know, just all these different things. Who am I? Who am I? And I really believe that the Lord has the answer. We're blessed in the Catholic faith, to have the church and the magisterium. And, you know, it is a blessing to not have to wonder, who did God create me to be? I mean, I can look to these beautiful writings and thoughts and ideas and know that I am loved by God. You are loved by God as well. And so, yeah, I would just encourage you to embrace that identity. I'm Brianna Health. This is Just Showing Up on Breadbox Media. See you next week.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.